Well, happy Father's Day. I've been looking forward to this, praying about this for some time now. Pretty fired up, pumped up about this opportunity to hopefully encourage and affirm and challenge our men. Whether you're a teenager, you're in your 20s, 30s, whatever your age, whether you're married or not, whether you have children or not, this today is specifically geared and targeted at our guys, at our men. And women, before you get upset or frustrated by that or anything, just about everything that I say is going to relate to you, but today is specifically geared at our guys, at our men, on Father's Day. So, right off the bat, I just want to tell you what the challenge is today. Here's what I want to challenge you. I don't want there to be any confusion. This is not a bait and switch or anything like that. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you in your life to do something big with it. I want to challenge you to have the courage, to have the guts, to have the backbone to be a man of God. To be a man of God. It doesn't take courage to follow the crowd. I mean, anybody can follow the crowd. Anybody can do, you know, what everybody else is doing. It doesn't take courage to do what all the other men are doing. It doesn't take courage to do what all your friends, all the guys that you work with are doing, what all the guys that you go to school with are doing. My challenge to you is to toughen up, be bold, be strong, and have the willingness to swim against the current of what, you know, my guess, probably just about everybody else around you is doing. And be the man, be the husband, be the father, be the friend that God wants you to be. That's the courage. That's the challenge today, is to do that. Now, in my own life, as I have strived to be the individual, the man that God wants me, I've got to be honest and say, I have blown it. I mean, just so many times. And there are times in my parenting where I have been too hard on my kids. There are other times where I've been too soft, too easy, too lenient on them. There are times where I've been short with my kids. There are times where I've been harsher than I should have been. There are times, I remember when I was working on things and I'd have one of my sons helping me out, working on the car, maybe carrying in some piece of furniture or something. And it wasn't quite going the way that I was hoping it would go. Maybe it was taking longer. There's just some frustration in there. And I have overreacted. There are times I have barked at my kids and God, you know, why don't you get this right? You know, I've told you how to do this. Hurry up. We need to get this done. Can't you ever get, this is what I wanted you to do. And in those moments, there have been times where I have seen their faces just fall as I've made some of those statements, and their shoulders just kind of do this sag thing. And I've realized immediately, I just did damage to their little heart. And I've gone back and I've apologized, and men, dads, we need to do that. We need to have the courage to go back and apologize. But the reality is there's always some damage that's been done. There's a time as a family we were on vacation in Mexico, and we'd gone in and it was late and I was tired, and we show up and they're wanting us to do some kind of timeshare presentation deal, and I was kind of short with them. Actually, that's not quite true. I was rude with them. I made it abundantly clear that I was not interested in some timeshare presentation. My whole family was there as I was doing this, and then the next day, one of my sons said something to the effect, "Dad, do you think if you were to invite that person that you were talking to yesterday there, if you were to invite them to church, if we were back home, back in the United States, you were to invite them to church after that type of interaction, do you think they would have been very interested in coming?" Yikes. No, I blew it. Oh, you know, and it was just, oh, one of those deals. There have been times where I've pushed my kids too hard. One of my sons was a quarterback I think he was in middle school at the time, and he'd had a game where his passing hadn't been all that it probably should have been, I guess. And so we decided we were going to go out and we were going to practice a little bit on that. And it was a cold, it was a misting outside, kind of rainy. And he was tired. Again, his back had been hurting and bothering him. And so I'm running routes for him. I'm catching the ball for him, and we're running. And finally, he goes, "Man, Dad, I'm tired. My back's really, really hurting." And I'm like, "Man, no, you know, let's go. Let's get this down. Let's get it right. You know, kind of play through the pain. You know, it's just a sore muscle, you know, whatever." And so we went a little bit longer, and his back continued to hurt, and we quit playing, and he went in, and throughout the week, his back continued to hurt, and finally, we had to take him to the doctor and found out that he had a broken back. Not one of my better moments, okay, as a father. And I've had those moments. My guess is we probably all had some of those moments that we're not proud of. We kind of faltered. We weren't stellar examples that we should have been. Our fears, insecurities, just pressures of life, baggage in our life, they affect us. And they just lead us to do sometimes some really dumb things. And I've been there. But we've done some things where we've really messed up. We've also done some things, haven't we, as dads, as men, where we feel like we've got some things right. One of the things that I feel like we've done right in our family is every year throughout, we've taken a family vacation. We just pull away from everything. I just invest time in my family, my kids, just relax and just have a really good time. And I tell you, it's worth it. It has been worth it to put out the money, the time, the energy to make that happen. One of the things that I've done over the years with my boys, I've kind of taken them out on a father-son outing each year for their birthday. Just time to do something that they enjoy doing. Go grab a bite to eat and just spend the day just together with them. I've tried to teach them responsibility, tried to teach them how important it is to work hard, to earn your own way. Each of our kids have kind of worked and saved their money and bought their own car. But the most important thing to me has always been, and I haven't even got this right all the time, but it has always been their spiritual life, their relationship with God. I have prayed from before they were born, I have prayed every day for my boys, for their spiritual life. And I don't even know if there's a day that I've ever missed. There may have been, there probably has been, but I'm not aware of that. And before they came to Christ, I prayed that there would be a day when they, for themselves, made that decision to place their faith and their trust in Jesus. And since that time, I've prayed that they would live their lives focused, locked in on Jesus, that he would be the most important thing in their life. One of the things that we've done over the years, and I don't even know when I picked this up, but somewhere along the line, as the boys would leave, I would say, you know, make sure you stand strong and live for God. Whatever you do, stand strong and live for God. And it just became kind of a mantra around our home when they would leave for school, leave for whatever. Make sure you stand strong. And before I'd even finish, and I know, and live for God. That's right. Stand strong and live for God. What do you do? Stand strong and live for God. And I've always wanted my boys to know that if they were going to stand for God, that there were going to be times where they were going to have to stand alone. Nobody else would probably stand with them. They were going to have to stand for him. So there are things that we do where we blow up. There are things that we do where we get it right. What I want to do today is I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you to make sure that we keep our eyes on the things that are most important, on what really matters the most. Because it's so easy to get distracted by so many things in life. And in fact, it's easy to get distracted by good things, even important things. But some of those things that are so good, they're not always what matters most. You see, as important as your career is, as important as it is for you to provide for your family, to be able to pay the bills and put food on the table, as important as it is for you to be able to provide opportunities for your kids to do dance or gymnastics or whatever the sport is or music is, in your life, I am absolutely convinced that is what is the most important thing, the most important thing, no exceptions, is where are our children spiritually? Where are they spiritually? Because you know what? Even if they accomplish all their dreams and they live out all of your dreams for them, you know, whatever, you know, that is, they become a professional athlete, they become some celebrity or a rock star, or the next Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg or whatever it is, they accomplish that. And let's be honest, parents here, okay? Most likely they're not, okay, going to accomplish some of those dreams. But even if they do, but they are empty on the inside. And they don't have that inner peace. And their life doesn't have meaning and purpose. And they're living their life with a load of guilt, because we all blow it from time to time, but they've never experienced the forgiveness that comes from having a relationship with God. And they're trying to do life on their own strength, and they're not able to tap in to the power and the love and the wisdom of God. Then we have not set our kids up well for life. We haven't. So what I want to do today is I want to look at a passage of Scripture. If you have your Bible, you can go ahead and open it to Matthew chapter 9, New Testament, first one of the accounts of the life of Jesus. And as we look at this today, when we first read it, you may think this is kind of an odd Scripture to look at on Father's Day. You go, what does this have to do with it? But I hope that as we get into it, that you will see how powerful this really is if we're going to have the courage, the backbone, to stand strong and live for God, and we're going to do something big with our lives. So look at what it says. Beginning in verse 35, Matthew chapter 9, we'll throw it up here on the screen, says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And look at this. When he saw the crowds, he looks out and he sees the crowds. He saw people, just ordinary people like you and me. Ordinary people like our kids. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I think a lot of our kids are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And sometimes we don't even realize it. They're harassed by messages from everybody around them. You know, if you don't do this, or if you don't do that, you're not going to be accepted. Nobody's going to want to be around you. You're not going to fit in with anybody. Nobody's going to like you. And they're harassed. They're stressed. They're under pressure because they're constantly squeezed to fit in to somebody's little mold. Sometimes a mold that we're trying to cram them into. Sometimes it's one that friends are trying to cram them into. But they feel harassed in their life. And while we don't typically like to think of our kids as being helpless is the word that's used here, the reality is that without Jesus and the foundation of his love and his strength and his guidance in their life, they don't have the life tools that they need to navigate the challenges of life. The emotional, the relational challenges. But it goes on there. And then verse 37, it says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Look at this. Jesus said, the harvest, those who are potentially open to spiritual things, those who are open to the things of God, to maybe having a relationship with God, the harvest, he's saying, is plentiful. But one of the harvest fields that some of us tend to kind of overlook is our own kids, our own families. The people that we say we care and love the most. And then it says, so ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. So I'm praying for workers. I'm praying for workers. I'm praying for men and women who will get off of their duff, who will get off of their behind, and they will get in the harvest. They will get in the game, and they will work in the harvest. There's some 270,000 people in Madison County. Some 30,000 people right in close to Vandalia. Studies show us and tell us that two-thirds of those people are not active in their faith, approximately. Approximately two-thirds. That means that approximately 180,000 people in the Edwardsville area are not active in their faith. Approximately 20,000 people in the Vandalia area are not active in their faith. Statistically speaking, what that means is that if you're standing in a line in the grocery store or you're standing in a line at McDonald's and you're following Christ in your life, then most likely the person right in front of you, statistically speaking, and the person behind you is not really living their life for God, is not growing spiritually, is probably not actively involved in church. And recent studies really push that even further and say that 80 to 90% of Americans don't have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. What's interesting is that another study that I read recently said that 78% of these people who are far from God, inactive, from God, disconnected, they've said that they would be willing to listen if someone were to want to talk to them about what they believe about Christianity. 78% are willing to listen. And the harvest is plentiful. I mean, just drive around on a weekend. There are all kinds of people. They're not in church. And part of that harvest that's plentiful, part of those individuals who are not active in their faith is our own kids, members of our own family. So we need workers. We need men and we need women. But I'm talking specifically, I want to challenge you guys. We need men who will have the courage to be men of God and do something big with your life. We need individuals who will stand strong and will live their lives for God. Now, there are three environments where I want to challenge you today to step up. And I'm not just talking about being a good, solid, hardworking, honest individual that lives a moral life. I'm talking about living a life that is centered and anchored in Jesus. Now, the Bible makes it crystal clear that the most important thing for us to do, Jesus says this is the greatest command of all, is that we love God with everything that we've got. At the very top of our priority list, very, very top, most important thing that we can do, men, women, whoever we are, is love God with everything that we've got. And Scripture makes it very clear that the evidence of our love for God, if we really love, it's not just about mouthing words, but the evidence is that we will obey His commands, we will obey His principles, His guidelines for life. And His Word, He tells us that we need to love the people around us. So if we really love God, then we're going to love the people around us. And if we really, truly love the people in our lives, then we're going to point them towards Jesus because God tells us to, and because we want the very best for them. You see, we really love the people in our lives. We really love our families. Then we're going to get involved in the harvest that is plentiful. And we're going to say, God, use me in this area. So three environments, which I want to challenge you to step up and be the man that God made you to be a man of God. Have the courage, have the backbone to stand strong and live for God. First environment I want to challenge you to step up is in your home. Step up in your home. Step up and be the man of God. Be a man of God in your home. Be the spiritual leader in your home. Lead by example. And set the pace. Now, thinking about that, let me ask you, where are you growing? If you're going to lead out, you need to be growing in your spiritual life. Where are you growing in your spiritual life? What's God doing in your life? Not what did he do 5 years ago. What is God doing right now in your spiritual life? Where are you growing? Is your passion for God burning brightly? I mean, is it burning so brightly that your families, that your kids, that they see it? You see, we can't pass on what isn't real, what isn't fresh, what isn't vibrant, what isn't dynamic in our own life. Our kids need Jesus. He's the foundation to a healthy life of emotional and relational wholeness. He really is. Jesus is like the processor chip, the CPU in a computer. Right, you can look at a computer and go, oh man, this looks like it'd be a great computer. But if that computer doesn't have this little thing right here, a processor chip, if it doesn't have a CPU in it, it's just a paperweight. Just a little bit. It really doesn't look that impressive, does it? You wouldn't think this right here would make that big of a difference. But without it, just a paperweight. Jesus is the CPU, if you will. He's the processor chip in our lives, in our kids' life. He's the one that's going to give them what they need. It's through their spiritual connection with God. He's going to give them what they need for relational and emotional wholeness in their life. So whatever you do, make sure that your kids go into adulthood with a foundation, with the tools to navigate life. And their spiritual life isn't just some little insignificant component. It's not just some little extra. Their spiritual life is what drives and keeps everything healthy and functioning in their life. It's the processor chip. It's a CPU for their life. That's what they need in their life. Without it, they are not going to be whole. They need Jesus in their life. Some of us are so concerned about our kids' sports and academics and music and dance, whatever it is that they're into. We're more concerned about those things than we are their spiritual health. I tell you, I am so impressed with some of you parents who have made the commitment in your life that with very rare exceptions, your kids are going to be in church every week. And I know it's not easy. It takes juggling things. It takes all kinds of things to turn that into a reality. At times, it takes making some tough decisions with coaches or with other individuals, with other parents. But what you're saying is, I know that what is most significant, what is most important in my kids' life, as important as the other things are, and I'm not saying they're not important, I'm not saying they shouldn't be involved in those things, but you are clear. Parents who've made that commitment are saying, man, not just with my words, but with my actions, I want to let my kids know that what's most important in their life is a relationship with God. That's what it's about. And I'm not saying, please don't hear this, I'm not saying pull your kids out of sports, okay? I'm not saying pull them out of whatever else that they're in. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not even saying that I have the answer to how to handle this situation necessarily in your unique circumstances. But what I am saying is that your kids' spiritual life and in turn, their emotional and relational health and wholeness is 100 or 1,000 times more important than dance or gymnastics or music or sports or whatever it may be that you have them involved in. We need to live with that awareness. Keep that in front of ourselves. It's easy for that to drift. But not only does our relationship with God affect our relational and emotional wholeness, but the reality is it affects our eternity. See, everybody lives forever somewhere. So what are we doing to ensure that our kids end up in heaven? What are we doing? So my challenge is have the guts, have the courage to step up in your home. But not only that, the second area where I want to challenge you to step up, stand strong, live for God, do something big in your life. Number two is to step up at work or at school. If you're at school, work hard. Step up in that area. The Bible says that we need to work as if we were working for Jesus. That's how we need to work. Work as though Jesus himself were your boss. But don't make your career your God. Don't let your job become more important to you than God or than your family. Your kids, your family knows whether your job is more important to you than God or not. They know. And what they need to know, what they need to be clear on, is that the most important thing in your life, the highest priority in your life, what you love more than anything else, they need to be clear, they need to know, is God. It needs to be crystal clear to them. You see, your job is simply a platform that God has given you to reflect Jesus. It's a platform that he's given you to point people to Jesus through your work ethic and through your honesty and integrity, through how you treat people in your life. You are making a statement. See the people that you work with through the eyes of Jesus. As you look at people, see them through the eyes of Jesus. And yes, I understand they may be difficult. They may be cantankerous. They may be royal jerks. But they matter to God. They do. And the more difficult they are, the more likely that they have some deep emotional wounds in their life. And of all people, what they need, who they need, is Jesus. But as long as you're there, as long as you're in that job, know that God has you there for a reason. And this that's your mission field. So love people. Love them. Extend grace to them. Forgive. Give people another chance. Confront. When you need to confront, confront. But confront in love. Reflect Jesus even as you do it. God could use you to reach your boss for Christ. Think about that. Maybe he has you there to reach that person for Christ. So have the courage to determine that you're going to live for God, that you're going to do God's will even when it's hard, even when there's a temptation to cut corners, to bend the truth, to take shortcuts. Decide in advance. It doesn't matter what the temptations are on your job, that you're going to live a life of integrity. And you're going to do God's will, even if it costs you a promotion, even if it costs you an incredible, huge sale, even if it costs you your job, that you're going to be a man of God. Make that determination in your life. So we need to step up. We need to have the courage to stand strong and live for God. We need to have the courage to do that in our homes, with our families, with our kids, in our marriages. We need to have the courage to stand strong and live for God in our work, on our job, at school, whatever it is that we're doing with our life. And then there's one more area, one more environment. I want to challenge you to step up. Have the courage, have the guts, have the backbone. Be a man or a woman of God. Have the courage to stand strong and live for God, to do something big with your life. Now step up in the church. Number three, step up in the church. Recent study indicated that one of the key reasons that teenagers stay in church once they graduate from high school, and you may not be aware of this, but 70 to 80% of the kids who grew up, teenagers who grew up in church, once they graduate from high school, tend to drift away from God, and many of them are not coming back. One of the key reasons that teenagers stay in church, they stay connected and plugged in with God, is because they grew up in a home where they saw both parents, their father and their mother, living their lives with a vibrant faith that was real, where they were growing and developing in their spiritual lives. And the study indicated that one of the evidences of the fact that, their spiritual life was, vibrant and real and things were happening was that they were active in the church, that they were actually leaders in the church, not just showing up on weekends, not just living as bystanders in the stand, but they were actively involved as leaders, both parents, in the church. See, we need to get out of the bleachers. We need to get off the sidelines, and we need to get into the game as parents. Now, I know that you're busy. I know that you got all kinds of other responsibilities, all kinds of other commitments, but there is nothing that you will do with your life that will have a longer lasting, a deeper impact on your children's lives and on anybody's life, on whoever's life it is for that matter, than joining hands with God in what He is doing in and through His church. Jesus working through the church is the hope of the world. It really is. So help us. Help those who are disconnected from God find what's missing in their lives and get their lives back on track. Jesus said in this passage of scripture that we looked at today, He said the harvest, in verse 37, He said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We need workers. We need people who will say, God, use me. You can count on me. I'm willing. And I know it may not be convenient. I know it may push me to step out of my comfort zone, but I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of making an eternal difference in my kids' lives, but in other people's lives as well. You see, if we're followers of Christ, what we need to be doing is we need to be replicating ourselves into the lives of others. We need to be following Jesus, but Jesus calls us to make followers of Christ. So we need to be making followers of Christ who make followers of Christ who make followers of Christ who make followers of Christ. And where that needs to begin is we need to be making followers of Christ in our own home, with our own kids. But we need to go beyond that. We need to be doing it on an individual level. We need to be replicating ourselves, making followers of Christ, make followers of Christ. We need to be doing that in our small groups. We need to be planting and starting new small groups where others are able to come and begin to grow and develop in their spiritual life and experience connectedness with God and connectedness with each other, the community that God invites us to be a part of. We need to be starting more services. We need to be starting more campuses. We need to be starting more churches, planting more churches, provide more options for people to come and hear about Jesus in their lives. It's kind of the concept of trot line fishing. We need more hooks in the water. What you do in trot line fishing, you just get as many hooks as you can in the water, and the more hooks, the more fish you're likely to catch. We need more hooks in the water to be able to catch and reach more people for Christ. So in Vandalia, one of the things that we're hoping to do within the next year is start another service, to provide another option, not just say, hey, the only time that you can come to church and hear this message of hope is this one time during the week. We want to provide another service there. And one of the new initiatives that we're going to be stepping into this year, starting up this fall, is what we're calling house campuses. And we're going to be starting, we're hoping to start this fall, three of these house campuses in the Edwardsville area within 10, 15 minutes of Edwardsville. And what these will be campuses that we'll be having two services in a home, okay? And we'll be having a live stream of our services at the same time as our Edwardsville campus has the services. And it'll be kind of like a small group, kind of, but a little bit bigger, probably. And rather than sitting around in circles like you sit in a small group in a home, we'll be sitting in rows. And then we'll have the singing and the worship by video. And then the message by video. And we'll have Adventureland in the home, our children's ministry in the home for children. We're hoping to start three of these this fall. And if we have three of these going, and let's just say that we were going to have two services at each one, and if we have, say, 20 adults and five kids, that's 25 one service, then we have 25 at the next one, that would be 50 per home. We have three of these, that's 150. And a year after we start these this fall, in the fall of 2017, we're hoping to launch a new campus with these three clusters, these three house campuses coming together to start a new campus for us as a church. And this is stepping out there. This is new. This is a whole new concept. This is kind of pioneering something on that cutting edge. Man, this is working in some parts of the country, and it's huge. Do we know that it'll work here? You know what? No, we don't. When we started this church, though, here 25 years ago, did we know doing church a different way? Did we know whether that would work? No, we didn't. I had a 6-month bail plan if it didn't work out. When we started Vandalia, did we know that that would work out? No, we didn't. But we stepped out in faith. Do we know this is work? No, we don't. But we are stepping out in faith because Scripture says as individuals, as a church, we've got to live by faith. Scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we've got to continue to be stepping out, taking risk for God. And so we're stepping out. And we're doing that. God is going to lead some of you to be a part of that in some way. We need to be living our lives by faith. Stepping out, saying, yes, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. There's an old a quote by Wayne Gretzky. He said, I skate to where the puck is going to be, not to the place it's been. I skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it's been. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. We don't want to live our lives in the past. We want to be constantly looking ahead to what God is going to be doing next. So we need men, we need women who have the courage to say, I'm in. Use me. God, you can count on me. God, I am saying yes to you. I want to be a part of the adventure. So men, my challenge to you is to have the courage to swim against the current, what everybody else is doing, and be a man of God. In your home, in your marriage, your family with your kids. To be a man of God. To be a man of God at work. To be a man of God in the church. Stand strong and live for God. Stand strong and live for God. Be the spiritual leader in your home. Lead by example. Point your family towards Jesus. Make sure that your kids, that your family is in church every week. And be a role model of what it looks like to live life passionately for God, to be in love with Him. Don't let your work become your God. Don't let it become an idol in your life, the priority of your life that you bow to and you worship and you serve. Work as though you are working for Jesus. And see your work as a platform where God wants to use you to make a difference for Him. Make it your goal in the church to be a part of what God is doing. Make it your goal to be here and bring somebody with you every week. Have a row. This is my row for my friends that you're going to be bringing with you. Help us start new small groups where we can invite others to be growing and developing, to experiencing the community that God wants us to experience in our life. And some of you, God is going to lead you to be a part of our house camps is to help out and first impressions or to help out in Adventureland, our children's ministry in that area. Be open to what God is going to do in your life. But we need men and we need women who will stand strong and will live their lives for God. That's my challenge to you. We're going to pray. We're going to wrap up. But just think of the difference that you could make if we got serious about living our lives for God and we made Jesus the priority in every area of our lives. Our influence and our example could provide our kids with a foundation that they need to move into adulthood with the relational and emotional wholeness that they need in their life. God might use you to help your boss or your neighbor or your own child experience eternal life. But if we're going to stand strong and we're going to live for God, it's not always going to be easy. Know that. It's not always going to be convenient. But if we will have the guts and the courage to be the men of God we need to be, that we want to be the individuals, women of God that He wants us to be, if we will do that one day, we'll look back and we'll be so glad that we had the courage. See, it doesn't matter what everybody else does. I'm going to make sure I've got Jesus in my life, the processor chip. I'm going to make sure. If you stand strong, you live for God, you'll be glad you did. And your kids will too. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, my prayer is that we would have the courage to swim against the current, what everybody else is doing in their lives. Pray that we would have the guts, the courage, be the men of God that you want us to be as guys, as men that are here this Father's Day. Maybe you're here today and you haven't been the spiritual role model that you should have been. And part of the reason is that for whatever reason, you drifted, you never got serious about God in your life. Maybe you weren't exposed to it a lot. And yet today, maybe you're realizing, wow, the piece that's been missing, the processor chip, the CPU that's been missing in my life, it's led to emptiness, is Jesus. And that's you, and you're ready to, right where you are this Father's Day, to open up your heart to Him. Say, God, today I realize I want you in my life. God, I want to accept your gift of life, your gift of forgiveness. I want you to give me the wholeness that I need to complete my life. So now I realize that you're what's been missing. So today I'm placing my trust and faith in Jesus and what He did by dying for me on the cross. Heavenly Father, my prayer is that you would bring workers into the harvest, that each person here would say, God, I want to stand strong and I want to live for you. God, give me the courage to swim against the current when that's what's needed. God, give me the courage to stand for you. I want to do something big with my life. I want to be the role model that you want me to be. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.